You're listening to episode 286 of Women Worldwide. Are you good at managing money? And how do you get better at it? Whether it's the best of times or you're facing uncertainty, I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic. So stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for tuning in, for being here, and for always sharing. Can't tell you how much we appreciate how you're helping this network. And we are growing as a result. And during these times, it's so important to feel connected. So we also appreciate that you're sharing how you're doing and what's going on in your world. So keep that coming, the tweets, the emails, and you know the private messages. It's all good. Okay, let's get to today's topic and special guest. Now, the topic is a repeat topic because you continue to ask for it. So, of course, we're going to bring it on. And it's all about managing money and feeling like you're better at managing money. So I'll ask you this question. Do you think that you're good at managing your money? And whether you answered yes or no to the question, I've got a guest today who has a lot to share and who can help you take those steps to get better or to change some of the thinking that you might have if you don't think you're good at money. Okay, joining me on the show is Pam Hopman. And Pam is a financial advisor, and she's also somebody who works with audiences so they can see their wealth amplified through personalized and comprehensive solutions. And I could go on and on about Pam's accolades, but we want to jump right in. So let's let Pam share her story and advice with you. Pam, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Deirdre, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I really appreciate it because this is one of those topics where, you know, whether you think you're good or you don't think you're good, no matter what, you can always get better with how you manage your money. Before we get into that and the advice and all the insights that you're going to share, perhaps you could tell us how you got started on this journey to help others to find better management of their wealth.
I'd be happy to. So many years ago, it seems like many years ago now, but it was back in the at the beginning of the 2000s. I was a stay-at-home mom for the most part. I was a stay-at-home mom for about 20 years. But during that time, I used to do things like I would work seasonally to prepare taxes, and then I got a securities license, and I started learning more about money. And I came to the decision of one day that somebody had to be responsible between my husband and myself for our finances, and I decided it was going to be me because he was busy doing what he does. So I started to really study it. But what really brought me into this as to help other people was my husband is the oldest of 12 children. He has 9 brothers. And one day, one of his brothers just died. He dropped on a run. And he left behind a wife and 3 children. And they were under the age of 10. All 3 were very young. And his wife, who had been a stay-at-home mom, turned to me and said, "I don't know what to do. How am I going to make it?" And I took it on at that point to start helping her. And that really got me propelled into the business of financial advice. And then a year later, my husband's sister's husband passed away. Again, he was about 42, and they again left behind 3 children.
Oh, sad.
It was like I was compelled to get into it, and I wanted to make sure that the women who wound up in these situations, or anybody, not just women, but anybody who wound up in a situation where they didn't know what to do around finances, at least they had somebody that they could turn to that really had their best interest at heart. Happy to say both of those families have done okay and done well, and the children are grown. And the first sister-in-law is still a client of mine. So she's still working with me. And I just honor that relationship. I just love that relationship. So that's how I got started. And it just took it from there.
Well, you had quite the calling to do what you're doing, and very sad to hear about the passing, both stories that you shared. But it is an interesting journey, and one that really gave you purpose firsthand with what you've seen. So let's talk a little bit based on those two instances. There are women who find themselves not knowing or feeling like they're good with money. What do you say to that? How do you even begin to change that line of thinking?
Well, first of all, it's not uncommon, as you've said, that there are many women who feel like they're not good with money. And I'm not quite sure where that really came from, other than my generation, and I'm a generation ahead of you at least, we weren't taught to focus on finances. That was not considered something that we were supposed to do. Now, I grew up in a household where my mother managed the money, so it was a little oddity at that time because she managed all the money. So, but many households, women didn't have anything to do with it. They would have an allowance, and they were told to go buy the eggs and the butter and whatever the house might need for groceries and things like that. So there's a history behind this. But as we become more independent women and we have our own finances, and oftentimes where finances were always combined in a marriage, now finances are no longer combined. We see that often. We see the women have money and the men have money and they don't combine it, or the spouses have money and they don't combine it together. We come across that even more, where women are like, well, I don't really know. You know, I don't know what to do here. The thing is that there are moments all through our lives where we make decisions about who we are. And there are what we call money moments, moments where you've decided you're good, or moments you've decided you're not good with finances. And you carry those. And every time you get in a similar situation, that's what's there in the back of your mind is, I'm not very good at this, or I'm really good with this. And it's an amazing thing. They did a survey probably around 8-9 years ago, but it's still an important survey. And they asked a group of women, all professionals, very well established, earning lots of money, if they thought they were good with money. And they all said they thought they were worse than the person they were sitting next to. Now, they didn't know much about the person they were sitting next to. They didn't know how good they were with money.
They thought that
must be worse than everybody else around. It's just something there. So it's important. Where it comes from is just things that happen in life and you decide. I mean, you can be in the same situation with a brother or a sister, and they come up with a different result of that money moment. They may decide they're great. You may decide you're awful. Same thing, same situation. It's just something that we decide.
That's really interesting. If you can break the pattern of thinking successfully, then what would be steps to more of that freedom with managing your money, or what you can do with your money?
Well, the first thing you have to know is you have to know who you are around money. And so I created what's called the money profile. And it's a 14-question, similar to a DISC profile or something like that, where you answer the questions and you're a blend of up to 5 different kinds of personalities. Those 5 personalities really are how you make decisions around money.
Can you name a couple personalities? I'm just curious.
Well, we have the champ, the chess master, the funster, the whirly bird, and the tortoise. Those are the 5 personalities. And I do try to make this a little bit fun, because it can be talking about money. And so I want you to be able to laugh about yourself a little bit.
It's right, not so intimidating, right, Pam?
And not feel intimidated. That's important to me, that you can laugh a little bit about how you make money decisions, and then you can make changes if you want to. But I try to say that first thing you have to do is you have to know who you are around money. The second is you have to identify some of those money moments, because if you don't identify them, They're the undercurrent of your life. They're running you. And until you can actually see them, you can't make a different choice.
What would be a money moment? What exactly does that mean?
Well, take a time when you were young, and maybe you remember your parents arguing about money. And maybe there was an argument that your mother just said, oh, I can't do this. I'm not good with money. And you may have identified with her, or you might have said, I'm going to be better than she is for our money. So that would be a money moment. It's time when you made a decision. Now, it could have been about a specific money issue, which would have carried forward. So it could have been about paying a certain bill, or it could have been about saving, not being able to save. It could have been any of those things in that instance. And you probably, I mean, for me, my first money moment that I remember was when we went on vacation and I was 10 years old. My mother gave us each $10 and we were going on a road trip. And I was so excited to have my own money to spend. And we went to two or three places. And by the time we got to the third one, I didn't have any money left. I'd spent it. And I looked over at my older brother and he had twice as much money as he started with because he was bartering and doing money. He wasn't stealing anything from me, but he had more money. And in that moment, I said,
"The moment,
awful with money."
That's so funny. I mean, it really challenges you to think back, to be reflective. And it's important to do that in order to move forward.
Yeah, because that undercurrent just sort of drives some of your decisions. And, you know, you don't have a clear, open way to make those decisions without that influencing you. So you can make it, you can decide. I decided that I was going to be better with money. And I took all the steps to become better with money.
Is the goal to identify your personality with to understand the money moments, to identify your personality? And then do you ever see, do your clients try to shift to a different personality or just get better with the personality that they are?
Get better with the personality they are. I don't want to change anybody. I don't want anybody to change. I just want some of their behavior to change. So if you can identify that you have certain behaviors that you'd like to shift and maybe get a little bit in, and you don't have to go that deep. We're not like going deep to make you feel bad about what decision you made when you were five. That's not what this is about. But it is about getting at least a little overall understanding of the things that made you come to the decisions you have about yourself and money. You can change, because until you identify it, you can't change. That's the point.
Do you also, should people reward themselves, and not with money or around money, but should you be noticing the times that you're good with money, that you've made some kind of a shift in a positive direction?
Absolutely. I think it's very important. You know, we're going to probably get into this a little bit later because it fits with a question that you had mentioned you might ask me, but I actually design a program with certain personality types where they absolutely reward themselves when they reach certain milestones.
That's so good. Now, there's one thing, I have a lot of friends who will share responsibility with a partner. And, you know, let's say you want to take more of a role with your finances, but your partner is used to doing something a certain way, what would you recommend for a woman or a man or anybody who just wants to take more of a role because they feel like they want to get better?
It is a really great question. You know, I have a book, it's called Wealth Amplified. And in that it talks about my process, which is the initials for empower. Well, the W is what's love got to do with it. And basically what it is that everybody should be aware of their finances and have some facility with it. Everybody should be able to do most of the things that you do on a day-to-day situation. But usually one partner is better than the other and takes the lead. That doesn't mean the other party shouldn't know and shouldn't have some responsibility. But the first thing you have to do is respect each other when you get into a situation like this. Respect the person who's handling it and earn the respect of the person that's handling it. You know, you probably already have that respect, but have a conversation that's very respectful and just say, listen, I really want to understand what's going on here. I need to understand what's going on here. You know, you're here now, but what happens if you aren't here? I can't tell you during my career how many women I've worked with, including my sister-in-law from the beginning, who really didn't know the big picture around the finances.
Right.
And that's so critical that both sides know that. I know in my own house, I said my mom ran the finances. And, you know, she was very smart because even though she was in her 80s, she set up almost all of their bills to be paid online and automatically so that when she passed away, and she did pass away before my father, he didn't have to relearn everything. So there are things you can do. But it's good to encourage the other person to take on some of the responsibility. It doesn't have to be a lot in the beginning. But really respect around the conversations of respect are the most important way to get to that. Love and respect.
Yeah, I love the way you put that. Love and respect. That makes sense. There's so many questions that I want to ask you. But one keeps surfacing on my mind. What makes you want to continue? What motivates you and keeps you focused every day on what you're doing?
I love to see people succeed in achieving their financial dreams. I love how happy they are. I think some of the happiest people are people that are retired and have no debts and they have no worries to speak of, at least around money. I mean, there's always going to be worries in our lives. We wouldn't be human without them. But it's so fun for me to be somebody who can stand by people as they achieve this and they learn new things. I love learning new things and I like to work with people who love learning new things. And the whole process of getting better with money is about learning.
Great.
It's about yourself. It's learning more about how money works. It's learning out how about money flows. That's all the things that are important. And, you know, where to put the money is probably the last thing that's important. You got to know all these other things first.
Right. So if it's about getting better, if it's feeling liberated, if it feels good, if you make it fun, then what would stop somebody from wanting to go down this path? What would be the challenges to someone for them to say, no, I'm not going to do this?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't want to look at themselves. I mean, that really is the number one challenge. If they don't really want to look and assess who they are and how they got to where they are and their behavior, and they don't want to, and people hate change. So those are some of the things that really, people would rather stay stuck. And so to break through that comfort is really the most important thing to do to get people to make a change. Change is hard.
Right.
That self-assessment, some people are afraid of what they're going to see. Everybody's, you know, there's no judgment here. I have a totally no judgment zone about people, but we do work with lots of different kinds of people. And that's really, the desire has to come from within.
Yeah. I mean, rather than waiting for a tragedy to happen, to force a change, it's probably better to move in that direction and to challenge yourself. Because it does. You're right. It comes from within. How do you stay on top of everything in your profession? How do you stay in the know? I'm always curious because there's so many different resources for professionals. But you know, what sort of feeds you so you can share top knowledge with your clients?
Well, I do read quite a few of the financial articles every day that come through from the Wall Street Journal or other magazines and different publications that are related to my industry. But really, there has to be a lifelong desire of learning, first of all. And I do have that. I'm licensed in a lot of areas. And so I have to do a lot of continuing education, which also keeps me up to date on a lot of different things. But it's really just being aware and paying attention. And, you know, there's so many places to answer that question.
I know.
If I want to stay in business, I have to keep learning.
Exactly. So do you have to be careful what you share on social media around financial advice? So in other words, is there general advice that you can share? And would you get in trouble if you were on social media giving somebody advice that went too deep? Or like, are there certain regulations, I would think, that would...
Well, there are unspoken regulations for the most part because it's such an untested area.
Yeah.
I do not give financial advice on social media.
Yeah. Like a doctor, you wouldn't give...
No, I have an issue with people that give blanket advice like it's good for everyone.
Yeah.
All financial advice is not good for everyone.
Right. So you have to be careful there, clearly. So, Pat, I can hardly believe that we're coming to the part of the show where you get to give your advice to the audience. Now, I know you've been sharing advice all along. But if you could just share with women worldwide what you think will help them overall to take steps, to change their thinking, and to really get out there and to be more hands-on, what would you say to them?
Well, the first thing is to get an understanding of where you're at and not ignore it and not pretend it isn't there. And whether you're a man or a woman, there's people that they don't pay attention to it. So you have to start having some intention and paying attention. And, you know, if you want to have an advisor, then you need to do some investigating and find someone that really fits and will help you get to your goals. Unfortunately, not every advisor is interested in getting to your goals. They have their own goals. But you want someone who's really working in your best interest.
That is great advice. And it's true. You have to, like anything else, you have to do your homework and know where you are, right, in the process. So last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
You can find out more about me at thehopmangroup.com. That is my website. You can also, I post on Facebook every once in a while. Thehopmangroup.com is on Facebook. And we put in some pretty good information there. You can also look me up under wealthamplified.com. That is the name of the book, Wealth Amplified, and that is the website for there. And that's pretty much the easiest way. There's ways on those websites to contact me personally.
Awesome. Are you on LinkedIn if people want to go to LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn.
Terrific.
On LinkedIn okay. as well.
So
I forget about LinkedIn sometimes.
Go to LinkedIn too.
Yes.
Awesome. Pam, thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing your journey, and all of your insights with us. We really appreciate it.
Deirdre, thanks for having me. This has been a wonderful experience.
You're welcome. And a big thank you to all of you for tuning in, for being here, for always showing up and for sharing. Keep letting us know how you're doing and what's going on. We are here to help. And of course, you know, you can always ask me a question. I'm on Twitter. Email me, or you know what? Sign up for the Women Worldwide Show updates. Okay, friends, until our next episode, of course, be safe, but stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.